along the side of the scorched highway. Bodies lay everywhere, like blackened logs, one or two of them still moving. The smell of baked meat filled everyone's nostrils, and the smoke was whisked away by the changeable wind. Snakefish was well ablaze. As the friends drew nearer, they could see women and children scurrying frantically from the burning buildings, trying to save whatever possessions they could. Very few of the men had made it back, most of them having chosen to run into the brush on the wrong side of the blacktop, so that the rushing wave of flames pursued them to their doom.
Look who's here!
JB pointed with the toe of his boot to where one of the chunks of human charcoal was writhing in slow-motion agony. The remnants of an M16 near the clawed hand told them that this was what remained of John Dern, dealer in guns and failed assassin. His eyes had been seared in their sockets, and his hair blasted from his wrinkled skull. Only the odd, gentle movements told him that life remained within the beasted carcass.
Chill him. I don't mind what he'd done. Nobody should...
They headed for the Ville, the glowing heat of the burning buildings scorching their skin as they drew closer. Fire leapt from shingled roof to tarred porch. The whole of Snakefish, end to end, was blazing. Hardly anyone took any notice of the seven outlanders as they picked their way carefully around the streets of the Ville. At one point, Ruby Raynor hobbled past them, eyes wide and crazed. Her blouse was smoldering across one shoulder, and the hem of her skirt had been burned clear away. She held an empty birdcage in her right hand and a wooden spoon in the other.
Oh, thank heavens! I am truly blessed. Truly blessed.
Well, that's the moat's wag.
Christy pointed down an alley near the temple. A ways down the street, the entire handmade storefront exploded out in a great blossoming of multicolored fire.
Wind's veering. If it goes right around, it'll carry the flames into the brush where the rattlers are. Block us off from reaching the redoubt if we don't watch it.
Got me a triple wish to see those three down and sky staring.
Better we move on out fast, Ryan. Revenge won't buy you a good burying.
We move through the Deathlands. If we don't leave things a touch better after we've gone, then what's the point? I say we clear them out.
Yes, you're right, Ryan. They must be along that dirt road, saving some Jack from the temple.
The doors at the back of the wag are open.
Doc walked toward the parked vehicle, with Laurie at his side. Joshua Moat suddenly appeared around the side of the armored truck, arms filled with a pile of papers. As soon as he saw Doc, he dropped them, reaching for the blaster at his hip.
You're dead, you old fucker!
Wrong again, Master Moat. The dead fucker is most definitely yourself.
Moat rolled on his back, clutching at his stomach, trying to staunch the massive blood flow from the gaping wound. Laurie stepped forward quickly and lifted her foot in the air, stamping down hard on Joshua's open mouth. She leaned with all her weight, grinding her boot as hard as she could.
Bastard.
You killed my boy, you horse slut gaudy bitch!
Norman Moat stood at the corner of the burning building, clutching an effigy of one of the muty rattlers that looked as if it were made from pure silver. He staggered drunkenly, and his gray hair was tilted lopsidedly across his sweating temples. Ryan didn't hesitate. The 9mm round that burst from the Sig Sauer drilled a neat hole through the angry furrow between Moat's eyes. Like an empty suit of clothes, Norman Moat, guardian of the shrine, slumped dead, his body rolling against his dead son's legs.
Where's the bitch queen?
Probably heard the thunder of Doc's mortar. 2 from 3 isn't bad.
Wind's come right around. We have to move now, Ryan. Come on!
JB led the way back along the end of Main Street, followed by Laurie, tottering on her high heels, Doc holding her arm. Jack jogged behind them, followed by Christy. Ryan, bringing up the rear, suddenly realized that Rick wasn't with them.
Keep going, lover. The freezy's vanished. We'll catch up when we can.
Richard Ginsburg was in the alley, kneeling near the two corpses. For a moment, Ryan thought of Joshua Moat's turquoise nugget around his neck, but it wasn't that. The scattergun that Rick had absently picked up after Rat's shooting lay in the dirt. Ginsburg was picking through the pile of paper.
Oh, these are from my time, Ryan. Porno magazines, kiddies and animals. So much of society blasted to kingdom come and this filth remains. There's something really... Look out! Ah!
Ryan caught her whirled, too late. Marianne Mote had come out of the side door of the nearest house, and she was holding a small, silvered machine pistol, which was aimed at Ryan's chest almost point-blank. Her makeup was blotched and smeared, and the dense smoke had darkened her doll-like complexion. Her dress was torn down the front, revealing the pallor of her thighs. She'd aged 20 years since Ryan had last seen her.
I seen what you've done, Outlander. You won most all of the prizes, but you lose the last hand, and I win it!
No.
The overlooked, crouching Rick Ginsburg shot her through the back with both barrels of the shotgun. Ryan had winced in expectation of her shooting him, but her long-nailed fingers opened, and the blaster dropped. Her hands waved frantically, as if she were gripped by one of her religious frenzies, and her mouth opened wide. A worm of thick, blood-roped spittle oozed out over her chin. Her legs gave way, and she collapsed beside her husband and son.
Thanks.
What?
Rick looked like a man waking after a long sleep. He stared at the empty, smoking scattergun he was holding, as if he'd never seen it before.
I said, thanks for that. She'd have chilled me for sure.
I guess she... I thought I was going to throw up. You know, you were wrong, Ryan.
How's that?
Killing people. You said it was hard. It's not. It's too damned easy.
Snakefish was in its final scorching death throes. Every building in the Ville was burning. Smoke soared 10 miles high, shredded by the wind as it was winnowed away from the foothills of the Sierras. At the end, nobody had tried to stop the seven friends or follow them. But now the threat came from the fire that they'd initiated. It was running along the highway and beginning to nibble at the edges of the mesquite.
Gotta go for it. Keep together. You can see the higher ground. Rocks. Reach that and we're safe. We'll soon be at the redoubt and away from here. Let's go for it.
They saw no signs of the muty rattlers. No doubt the explosions and the fire had sent the great reptiles to their hidden burrows, deep beneath the desert. Ryan set a steady pace, knowing that to start off too fast would have meant stragglers within a mile. He and JB could have pushed on at twice the speed, as could Jack and Christy. But Doc Tanner was an old man, and Lori insisted on wearing her high-heeled crimson boots, and Rick was sickly. The rising ground promised safety, but the wind had turned, causing the fire to pursue them. It was gaining all the time, and the roaring and crackling flames raced nearer to their heels.
Gonna be close.
Rick's bushed.
So's Doc.
Ryan held up his hand to stop everyone. The brush ended a scant half mile away, but the prairie fire was even closer. Smoke filled everyone's lungs and made running even more difficult. Rick was on his hands and knees, clutching his cane, fighting for breath, his shoulders heaving. Doc trembled with exhaustion.
Christy and I'll help Rick. Jack, you help Doc. And JB can give Lori a hand.
No. Jack and JB can help Doc along. He needs it more than me. I'll be fine.
There wasn't time to argue. Ryan nodded his agreement, and the seven friends set off again for the last lap of their desperate race. Rick was in a state of virtual collapse, feet shuffling and kicking out, hanging between Ryan and Christy. Doc wasn't in much better condition, flopping between the too much smaller figures of Jack and